Right now, golf season is in full swing, and whether someone's flying in from out of state or just driving down the road from their house, Wisconsin's reputation as a golf destination seems to be growing. Golf Digest currently includes 8 Wisconsin courses on its list of the top 100 public courses in the country, and 2 of those cracked the top 10. That got us wondering, could Wisconsin be considered the nation's golf capital quite yet? Gary D'Amato is a sports columnist for the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. He talked with Central Time producer Dean Kinetter earlier today.
So in the last 20 years or so, we've seen a handful of courses in Wisconsin that get talked about with some of the country's best: Whistling Straits, Black Wolf Run, Erin Hills. But let's look at the new kid on the block, Sand Valley. Just opened up for its second year in the town of Rome. Can you tell us what this course is like and why it's getting rave reviews?
Yeah, it's actually 2 courses now, well, two and a half if you want to count the par 3 course called the Sandbox. And the original Sand Valley course opened to the public last year. This year, the second course, designed by David McClay Kidd, called Mammoth Dunes, opened in May. And they also, Ben Crenshaw and Bill Coore did a course called the Sandbox, a 17-hole kind of unorthodox par 3 course. That's spectacular. And the reason, you know, I've written quite a few glowing stories about these golf courses, and the reason I think so highly of them is these are the same guys, the Kaiser family, that built Bandon Dunes, one probably the most acclaimed golf resort in the world out on the Oregon coast. And they're doing a very similar thing, same formula in central Wisconsin, middle of nowhere, sort of in this, they built on this prehistoric, there was a prehistoric lake there that when it broke its dam, the water spilled out tens of thousands of years ago and left behind this giant sand deposits. So as anyone who follows golf knows, the best topography or the best soil conditions for golf courses are sand-based. And so they were able to build these really linksy, bouncy, firm, fast fescue courses. Spectacular scenery. You feel like you're in Montana when you're on these places. And it's just a total golf experience from the moment you pull in the parking lot until you leave, whether you stay and play one course or two or all 3, stay at the lodging there. It's just it's an amazing experience playing golf there.
And you recently wrote about the impact that Sand Valley is having on the area economically and environmentally, too. What's happening there?
Yeah, you know, the Kaiser family, a lot of people who build golf courses pay lip service to the taking care of the environment and being good stewards of the land, but these guys really mean it. They bought, in addition to buying 1,700 acres that they're going to devote to multiple golf courses, and I think more are on the way besides the 3 they already have, they purchased some 7,200 additional acres, and they are stripping all the pulp red pines off this land. The pines were planted there by the paper mills for pulp, and it's basically a monoculture. It's an agriculture. It's a crop, basically, of pines that are planted in rows, and the Kaisers are stripping thousands of these trees off this 7,200 acres, and they're going to restore it to the native habitat, what nature intended it to be. Just a sand barren with sort of these oak savannas, just beautiful rolling countryside. They're going to open a recreation park where people can bird watch or fat tire bike or primitive camp. But there won't be any, very few signs of civilization on this land. So I really like what they're doing for the environment. And then, not to be understated, is what it's done for the economy in the town of Rome, Wisconsin Rapids nearby, and the whole Adams County, which has been horribly depressed since the paper mills have been going out of business. So it's a win-win-win, I think, all the way around.
And Sand Valley is joining a group of really highly acclaimed courses in Wisconsin. Given what we have here in the state, in terms of golf tourist destinations, how do you think we stack up?
You know, I think we stack up with just about any state or any region in the country right now. With the courses you mentioned, Whistling Straits and Black Wolf Run, the Kohler Company courses, Erin Hills, Century World, Lasonia, and all the great courses in Lake Geneva, and now Sand Valley coming on board. There are very few places in the country you can go and have 8 or 10 world-class golf courses within a 2 to 2.5 hour drive of each other. So I think Wisconsin stacks up now as, definitely in the top 2 or 3 states in the nation for the number of great public accessible golf courses.
We're talking with Gary D'Amato right now, sports columnist for the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel, looking at where Wisconsin stands in the world of golf and golf tourism. And Gary, anyone who's lived in Wisconsin in January could rightly think that our reputation in the golf world is a bit surprising. So why Wisconsin? What's allowed us to become such a hot spot?
You know, I think there are a number of factors that go into that. I think Herbert V. Kohler Jr.'s vision when he built Black Wolf Run and opened back in 1988, I think showed that golf could be a destination in Wisconsin. And since then, he's obviously added three more courses and is going to be adding a fifth when all the approvals go through with the DNR and the Army Corps and all that, when he gets all the red tape taken care of there. And I think that showed that what Wisconsin could be in terms of golf. We do have a winter, of course, but we also have pretty good weather from May through October and great conditions for growing bent grass, which is the preferred surface at most golf courses. I don't think there are better greens in the country than Wisconsin's bent grass greens.
Wow.
In June, July, and August. I think they're superior to anything you'll find anywhere. And, the number of good courses and also the number of major championships that have been here that have sort of put Wisconsin on the map, I think gets people to want to come here.
Yeah, those tournaments, they haven't been held at Sand Valley yet, but other courses have held major tournaments in men's and women's golf. How important is that to putting us on the map and getting people to come play here?
I think it's huge because there's a certain segment of the golf population nationwide and worldwide. There are a lot of people out there with disposable income, and there are a lot of people who love to play courses that the pros play on. And so these people are flocking. They're flying their private jets in. They're getting together their corporate buddies and the people who maybe aren't in the upper echelon as far as income are saving their money and for buddies trips and coming here to play golf because they see Jason Day winning at Whistling Straits. They see the two U.S. Women's Opens that have been at Black Wolf Run, Sayree Pak, basically launching the Korean golf boom back when she won the 1998 U.S. Women's Open.
Mm-hmm.
And people see these things, and they want to come here and play those golf courses, I think.
The top-ranked courses that we're talking about here in Wisconsin are public courses, but as you mentioned, they're really expensive and not always in the budget for most of us. For those of us who do love golf but aren't going to be playing at the Straits or Sand Valley, is Wisconsin still a good place to be?
Yeah, that's a good question. I get that one a lot from people, especially when I write about Whistling Straits or Erin Hills or Sand Valley, and people say, yeah, okay, they're good courses, but we can't afford to play them, or we can play them once a year maybe. My answer is always, you know, I can't afford the best sports car or eat at the best restaurants in town, but it doesn't mean I don't want them to be there and that other people should enjoy them, because there's lots of restaurants I can eat at and there's lots of cars I can't afford. Well, a few cars anyway. But I mean, the point is there are almost 500 golf courses in Wisconsin. Roughly 400 of them are public. And out of those 400, 350 are affordable. So if you can't afford a Whistling Straits or an Erin Hills, you certainly can afford to play fine golf courses throughout the state for, you know, one-tenth of that cost.
And do you think there's any really good ones out there sort of flying under the radar that might be a bit of a bargain?
You know, there's a great course called Lasonia Links in the middle of the state, southern part of the state, near Ripon, near Green Lake. And Lasonia is a very affordable, what I would consider to be a very, very high-level golf course designed by Langford and Moreau, two great golf course architects in the 30s and 40s, and just really dramatic topography and a fun golf course to play. That would probably be number one on my list of hidden gems, but there's lots more.
Yeah, I played the Woodlands course at Lasonia, and I got to say, it was gorgeous, a lot of fun. The new golf course development that we're seeing in Wisconsin today, is that focused on those high-end resort-type courses?
Right now it is, because the model, you know, Herb Kohler and Mike Kaiser sort of set the model. Bob Lang built Erin Hills, and those are the courses that are getting play. The courses that are in that price point we're talking about, $200 to $400 for a round of golf, it's a lot of money. But those courses are doing very, very well. The courses that charge $20 for a round of golf also are doing very well. What I worry about are the golf courses in that $40 to $70 range.
Hmm.
I think those are the golf courses that aren't getting a lot of play because people, who can't afford to play golf are playing the other courses that I talked about, the $20 to $30 courses, and the wealthy people are coming to play the other courses. So those courses stuck in the middle, I think, would be the ones that might be struggling right now.
And as we start to wrap up, looking 20, 30 years down the road, do you think the golf industry in Wisconsin is on a sustainable path? Will it maintain that reputation?
I think it will. Mike Kaiser is planning on building possibly 2 to 3 more courses, so there will be 5 or 6 golf courses at Santa Valley. Herb Kohler wants to build a 5th course, and probably will, on land just south of, on the lake, just south of Sheboygan. So there are going to be more great courses coming online. And we've got a population of people who really love golf in Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin always ranks number 1 or 2 in the nation in golfers per capita. We're right up there with Minnesota. And so I think those things bode well for the future.
And Gary, before we let you go, I've got one more thing. Where are you headed for your next round?
I just played Morningstar, which is a fine golf course in Waukesha County. And I don't know where I'm playing next, but I'll tee it up on any golf course in Wisconsin. It doesn't matter to me.
All right. Well, wherever it ends up being, hit them straight. And thanks for joining us today. Appreciate the time.
That's my pleasure. Thank you.
Gary D'Amato is a sports columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He talked with Central Time producer Dean Knetter about the state of the golf industry here in Wisconsin and the national attention golfing in the state is getting.